Good to have you all here today, and as we continue our series, we're going to be in this series until revival, as Josh had shared, and not too far away, coming up on us, so continue to pray for that, and pray for Dean and the messages that he'll be bringing. With our series, let me introduce you to Jesus. We've been going through the book of Luke and looking at him coming in contact with different individuals, and hopefully trying to learn something and look at something that we can apply to our life that maybe we haven't before in the past. I struggled this week on what to call this lesson. We ended up going with Jesus and Simon, because as you will see when we go, it's not only about Simon the leper, it's also about the sinful woman. And since it all took place at Simon's house, we went with that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 7 when we get there, verses 36 through 50. This is a longer, more lengthy text than we've looked at in the past. We've just had about 7 or 8 and just about 15 verses. But this backstory of this text is of a leper that's throwing a party to show his gratefulness of being healed from his ugly disease. And in our first week, we talked about that of being a leper and what that was, and some of the grotesqueness involved with that. Not only was he a man of some esteem in the community, but he was also a Pharisee, we'll see as we get into our text, and was throwing a party that... thankful that he now did not have leprosy. The leper is upset then with a sinner woman horning in on his party. And one thing we need to understand is the layout of homes and such of that day. Most homes would have a courtyard of some resemblance. And if they would throw a party, they would let anybody and everybody kind of wander in and wander out. And this woman comes wandering into this party that he's throwing for his thankfulness of not having leprosy anymore. And I don't know, it's kind of if he's upset that she's showing more emotion and more thankfulness than he is. Because she starts crying and shedding tears to show and express her gratefulness. And as we talked about last week, remember, if there's a party, maybe we need to throw a few more parties for people coming to the Lord. This guy throws a party, but we're going to notice that there's something different about his party. But she is so overwhelmed with gratefulness that it gets upon her emotionally. There's definitely, even amongst our group here this morning, we handle joy differently. And so I don't want to come down on the Pharisee here just yet until we get in here and start to look at some of the things that are here. But this is one of those stories that it's not about the leper and it's not about a bottle of perfume, but it's actually about how thankful you are. Let us read Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears and kept wiping with her hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of a person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. "So which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I want for us to understand here that as Jesus talks here, we lose much of the Bible many times in the translation to the Greek language or to the English language. And so I want for us to understand that this word, your faith, and this forgiven here, the use of this Greek perfect tense verb, the word is saskoen, has saved and is continually to save you. As she came in to him to talk to them, she was, and I don't want to run ahead of myself too much, she had met Jesus before. So had the leper. And we see that at least something was said to her that she was very thankful for. And I wonder, as we go through our life, that now, as this woman does, that because of her faith, she is now putting that faith into action. And so many times we'll say, "Well, your faith is this," but where does your faith stop? And hopefully it doesn't. It continues on. This house, or the house that this event takes place in, as we mentioned, is in that of a Pharisee. And this whole situation that takes place here is highly debated amongst most commentators on whether this woman is Mary, the sister of Lazarus, Mary Magdalene, some other Mary, or maybe not even a Mary at all. What they do, the only thing we do know is that this woman was here, was a sinner, or at least a former sinner. There are many similar events that take place in this story as in the one that takes place in John chapter 12. That's why I said there'll be those that'll highly debate this on whether this is Mary, Lazarus's sister, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. John chapter 12 talks about a very similar incident. It takes place in the same town. It takes place with many of the same people there. However, we see with this incident, this one takes place 2 days before Jesus is turned over to be crucified. The one with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha takes place, if you read John chapter 12, says 6 days before. We also know that when the one that took place in Mary and Martha's place with Lazarus, we see that she anointed his head, and this woman is anointing his feet and preparing him. So there is many contrasts, but Matthew 26 and Mark chapter 14 gives us this the synoptic gospel view of this Luke passage. Mark 26, 6 through 7 says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it out on his head and reclined at the table." And then Mark 14:3 says, "While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke it. She broke the vial and poured it over his head." And so this is what we want to look at here, is this whole idea. What's taking place in this party? What is there for us to learn that maybe we haven't considered before, and see how Jesus can always and is always teaching us things by what and how he responds to situations. The first thing I want to point out from this lesson here, and I think you already know, is that Jesus knows who we are. Jesus knows who we are. To us, in this situation, once this is mentioned in Matthew 26, in Mark 14, and Luke chapter 7, we become to know of this. But as we'll see in both of these lives of these people, Jesus had met them before, whether it was Simon the leper. And so I do find it interesting there. You know, he referred to the woman as that sinner woman. And so the writers refer to him as Simon the leper. And at this time, as we see, neither one of those were either one of those things. Right? And so we may know who we are. We may know that we've been forgiven, but there may be those in the world that don't. And this is a reminder, they're seeing him as Simon the leper. They're seeing her as the sinner woman. But how does Jesus look at them? How does Jesus know who they are? Jesus knows what we are. Jesus knows who we are. There is nothing to hide from Jesus. He sees and he knows all. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. Proverbs 15:11 says this: Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord, and how much more the hearts of men. What he's basically saying is, hell and Hades, the Lord knows it all. And yet, how much more the hearts of men. As you sit here this morning, if you're not loving on Jesus, he knows it. He knows it. You may be loving on fried chicken you might have later. Thinking about that. Oh, man, we're planning on having a Meat Lover's Deluxe pizza. Maybe that's what you're thinking of, right? If it is, save me a slice. But if you're thinking about what those things are and other things are, Jesus knows what's going on up here. You may be here putting in the time, feeling like you have to be here. Then I'll say this. Don't waste his time or yours. You need an attitude shake-up. You need to reevaluate things. We'll first dive into this former leper who Jesus previously healed. He was a Pharisee. His name was Simon. He's a man that had been a leper, which Christ had healed. Why the Pharisee would invite Jesus to his home and extend into his home is an extended debate in itself. So many people in this see the Pharisee as trying to catch Jesus in a problem. Because we even see a phrase that he makes, a statement that he makes. Remember, it says, now when the Pharisee who had invited him into his house saw or said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of a person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Well, you know what? I'm here to let you know this morning, if you haven't figured it out yourself, Jesus knew that. And the guy's like, well, if he's a prophet, he would know. He would know these things. Well, Jesus knows it. And you know, Here's a fact. Jesus knows her past and is basically telling all those people around them that you don't need to. Right? That you don't need to know their past. Aren't you glad that when you became a Christian, that repentance that took place, that confession was between you and Jesus Christ, and you didn't have to get up and list off every sin that you've ever committed? Jesus knows. That's all that matters. Maybe, let's just look at the hopeful side of things. Maybe the leper was just thankful that he had been healed and he was throwing a party. Talk about social distancing, right? Would be that of being a leper, right? Not even 6 feet would work with that one, possibly. You'd have to, when you'd walk into town, you would have to shout out, "Unclean, unclean, leper," so that people would have the opportunity to get away from you. They had their, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, their leper colonies, places that these people would go and live. And so after he was healed, and maybe he was one of these guys that Jesus healed that we had talked about. We know he wouldn't have been in the 10 because the 10 were Samaritans. But we looked, like I said, 2 weeks ago. Jesus was healing lepers, and this one that he healed. And so maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but we see that he is here, and maybe he's just, you know, hey, wanting to have a party. I haven't been able to be around him. He's been in quarantine for all this time. He just wants to have a party and get all people back together, and, you know, might as well invite the guy that made me clean. Or was he trying to put Jesus in a difficult situation by having questionable people in attendance? Remember, we saw this last week. Who are you guys eating with? You know, when they're in somebody else's house, and these are people that are invited there by somebody else, we so many times overlook our own sin. Maybe he was wanting to embarrass the sinner woman. Who knows what her sins were? Maybe this good and upright Pharisee had a bad transaction with her himself. And he's trying to embarrass her now because he knows what kind of a person she is. But they all know what kind of a person he is too. So this gives us a little bit of information that Jesus is already aware of, and now that we are learning about this man. So then we look at a woman, a former sinner. How do we know she was a former sinner? As we said in the Greek text, it says that your faith, which had made you clean, is making you clean and will continue to make you clean. So Jesus had previously forgiven her. She finds out that Jesus is in town. And wants to go share with him. She heard that he's at Simon's house. She knew that she would be able to get in there. She was expressing in a highly emotional way her gratitude for having been forgiven by Jesus. If you've ever been involved in many opportunities with people coming to the Lord, you'll see that people rejoice in many different ways. They may come up, and you've had some that come out of the baptistry and just be like, it's finally. I did. You have other people that come out, and they're yes! You have other people come out, and they're just overwhelmed with crying and emotion. So what's the right way to celebrate Jesus? The right way is just to celebrate Jesus. And I think as we look here at this story, that's what Jesus is wanting for us to understand. Because within this story, Jesus tells another story. But remember, she comes to him highly emotional. She brought her alabaster. Those of us that don't know what that was, it's like a plaster of Paris, okay? They would make this vial, then they would seal it up. They would usually decorate it really nice. And then when you opened it, it was open. You had to break it to get it back open. It would be filled with an ointment or myrrh, imported and expensive. She stood at the foot of the couch weeping. Her tears fell at the feet of Jesus and made them wet. Quickly, she knelt down, wiping off the teardrops with her long hair. It was a shame for a Jewish woman to let her hair down in public. Now remember, that was tradition. That was not the law. Paul even has that discussion with the new Christians in the church at Corinth, that this is a tradition, not the law. She began to kiss and embrace the feet of Jesus profusely, to rub the very expensive perfume from her alabaster jar on his feet. This woman gladly did the most humiliating, servile deed that could customarily be done in that era, while at the same time she gladly rubbed on his feet the most expensive and precious thing that she owned. Remember, we started off this point talking about Jesus knows what we are. Jesus knows who we really are. He knows if we're grateful. He knows if we're thankful. He knows if we're jealous. He knows if we're arrogant. He knows if we're spiteful. He knows if we're compassionate. He knows if we are kind. He knows if we are loving. He knows if we're argumentative. He knows. Oh, he knows. See, all this information was given so that we might understand this woman and this man better, but Jesus already knew. He had already met with them, and he already knew what kind of people they were. And then it leads us to where Jesus says the right things. You ever say the wrong thing? We all say the wrong thing, right? Or maybe there's things that no one says. Found a list this week of things that you'll never hear anybody say anymore. First one is, what's Facebook? You'll never hear anybody say that. Even those of us that don't have Facebook, we know what Facebook is. You never hear anybody say, oh, good, it's oatmeal raisin and not chocolate chip. Now, if you're planning on oatmeal raisin, that's all good. But I've never heard anybody say, oh, I was so glad it was oatmeal raisin and not chocolate chip. You'll never hear anybody say, so do you sell a TV with a DVD, VCR, or VHS combo on it? You'll never hear somebody say, so where did we put that floppy disk? Don't hear that anymore. Never hear people say, I wonder when we'll be getting our new phone book. Or maybe this one I thought was funniest, so I saved it for last, where someone says, and this is the IKEA dresser that your grandfather handed down to me. You'll never hear anyone say that. But Jesus was all about saying the right thing, saying the right thing at the right time. Even if we may not like it, Jesus still says what needs to be said. And there are four things in this text, at least, that I want to look at, of things that Jesus said and why he would perhaps say them. So he tells the story. Remember, we've kind of overlooked that at this point so far, the story of the two debtors. One with 50 denarii, one with 500 denarii, great difference. And so Jesus asks the question, or makes the right statement, as he's talking to Simon. He says, Simon, I got something for you to hear. And Simon says, go ahead, teacher, go ahead. Because he just knows that since it's at my house, you're not going to be ripping on me, right? Because I'm the one throwing the party. And so we see that Jesus doesn't rip on anybody. And as we look at this, I want for us to maybe perhaps consider this in a way that we never have before. So which one of them will love him more? Is what Jesus said. So which one of them will love him more? And the response was by Simon, well, I suppose the one who had more to be forgiven. And then Jesus looks at him and says this, again, very correctly, you have judged correctly. So now what do you think the leper's feeling like? What Simon the Pharisee's feeling like? Jesus just told a parable and I got it right. Because we see so many times through the other that people don't get it right. And he says, you have judged correctly. Then he looks at the woman and says to her, something that we have not recorded in scriptures, he says to her that he does not say to Simon, your sins have been forgiven you. So now what we're finding, we don't know what her sin was, but everyone knew she was a sinner woman, right? We know what his problem was, and this is what we've been looking at all the time. When Jesus healed the lepers, was it about their leprosy? No, it wasn't. He had his leprosy healed, and was he grateful? Yes. But in the grand scheme of it, to have a physical ailment healed, whatever it may be, and still go to hell is perhaps one of the most tragic thing that could happen in the world. And yet, her, with no physical ailment, hers was a sin issue. And this is where we've been looking every time they get upset when Jesus forgives of sin. They never get mad at him for healing somebody, for doing a physical thing. They get mad at him for claiming to be the Son of God. Forgiven sins. The leper heard what he wanted to hear, as many Christians do. Yeah, you're right. That's what Jesus told him. You're correct. You're right. So, do you want to be a part of those that are right and have never been told you're forgiven? Or do you want to be a part of those that Jesus looks at you and says, you have been forgiven? Now, as we've shared before, Simon obviously had been in contact with Jesus before. All probability, the sinner woman had been in contact with Jesus before. I have a feeling that when Jesus talked to her before, he had mentioned something about those sins being forgiven. However, isn't there something for us to say as the church, whether it's at a revival or whether it's the end of our service or whatever it is, isn't there something for us to say that we can sit here at the end of a service or at a revival, and when they're preaching about those that are outside of Jesus Christ, we can be at peace because we know we've already done what Jesus has asked us to do? But isn't it great for us to be reminded that our sins are forgiven? Right? I think so. Your sins have been forgiven. Did she know that? I think she did. The text in the Greek says that she did. Because your faith has brought you to this point. Her faith has put it into action. Her faith now has brought everything, the most expensive thing that she had, and she laid it at Jesus' feet. I think we all love to hear that we're saved. As a matter of fact, even those that aren't saved like to hear that they're saved. It brings a peace to them, even though it's a false peace. But then Jesus finishes off by saying, your faith has saved you, go in peace. He says, first of all, as we looked, your sins have been forgiven. And then in a later text at the end, he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. And maybe it's just us as people. But as I said, I think she was probably told somewhere else along the line she'd been saved. Jesus tells her, your faith has saved you. And then he tells her one more time. Because it's kind of like when people want to talk to you about your grandkids. You can hear it all day long, right? Oh yeah, go ahead. Even though I know, go ahead. It's if somebody tells you that you're saved, you're like, I know, but man, that sure is nice to hear, right? And I think that's where it is here. And sometimes people need to be reminded of that. We have revivals. We have times of getting together and encouragement so that as we walk out the door, we can look at one another and say, George, remember, you're saved. Beth, remember, you might, oh no. Yeah, remember, yes, you're saved. Right? As we look at that and we say, isn't that a good thing to be reminded of? Especially when the rest of the world is telling her how terrible she is. Even someone who had a physical disability healed looks at her and says, oh, I used to be a leper, but she is a sinner woman. What's worse to be? We've already looked. The death that separates us for all eternity. To be separated from Christ. Which then leads us to our third thing that I want to point out here this morning. Is that Jesus affirms their actions. And I kind of already gave this away earlier in our message. That when I said, he didn't rip on anybody. Everything he said to the leper was what? You're right. You were right on, man. But isn't that the way that so many people are in their Christian walk? They'll hear that they're right, and they just stop there then. All right? So he even looks down. If we look at him, and knowing what we know of him, and knowing what we know he already thinks of the sinner woman, and then now knowing the story that Jesus has told, who do you think in his mind is the one that was forgiven the most? Which one does he think owed the 500 denarii, him or the sinner woman? I think he thinks the sinner woman. But Jesus looks at him and says, you're correct. You got it right. And that shows us, I think, that so many sitting here today think they got it right. They even know they've got it right. Jesus even says you've got it right. But you're not leaving here with the assurance that your sins have been forgiven. So he affirms their actions. What did he do? He judged. Do we ever know anybody in the church that judges one another? Right? And what did he say? You're right. We can make a judgment about another brother or sister in Christ and be right. Boy, they're walking down a dangerous path. You're right. You're correct. Boy, they shouldn't have done that. You're right. You're correct. Do you want to be right and correct and judge rightly? Or do you want to be known by your faith? He was known by his correct judgment. She was known by her faith. We have definitely experienced Jesus correcting those that were wrong, but as we see, that doesn't happen here. They were both right. So which one would you rather be like? Would you be known as the one that judges others and judges them correctly? Or do you want to be known as the one that expresses their faith graciously? Luke 7:28. This had happened just prior to our text that we're reading here this morning. It says, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, and yet he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now, we've looked at this before, and we'll talk about, I don't care if I'm first in heaven or last in heaven. I just want to be in heaven, right? And so as we look at this and he says, you know what? But he that is in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. What he's saying is, you sitting here today that have an opportunity to be in the church, the Lord's church, the kingdom of heaven, that's what he's talking about. You are better off than John the Immerser was. Because you get it. You have a part and an opportunity in salvation, in being a part of the kingdom, so that we know which is greater. The leper is throwing a party to show his gratefulness. The leper is upset with a sinner woman by horning in on his party. The sinner woman is shedding tears to show her gratefulness. This story is about who is more thankful. Now, we may run around and say, I know more Bible verses than you. Somebody else might say, well, I can pray longer prayers than you. But I never hear anybody running around saying, I am more thankful than you for my salvation. When really, which one should be at the top of our list? Boy, aren't you thankful you're saved? Aren't you thankful you're saved? Aren't you thankful you're saved? All right, there we go. We need to be thankful that we are saved. Because in this story, are we the leper or are we the sinner woman? Each and every one of us is the sinner woman. We all need forgiveness. So it's our responsibility to do our best to express how grateful that not only we are thankful that all have received this blessing, the blessing of grace and mercy from our Savior Jesus, that as we said, maybe we should learn to party a little bit better in the church. It's not about the party. But you know what? It's not about the perfume either. It's about the love of Jesus and the love that he had for a leper and the love that he had for a sinner woman and the love he had for a Matt Wellman and a love he had for an Adam Cooper and a love he had for a Brandon Tucker, right? And a love that he had for each and every one of us. That's what it's about. So what we're saying is, it's okay to have the party, but don't let the party be a distraction for Jesus being there. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that we need to acquaint ourselves with, that we need to be obedient to. It says in John 8:24, that therefore I said to you that you will all die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Luke 13:3 says that we need to repent or you'll perish. That one's pretty simple. It tells us that we need to confess. Matthew 10:32, that if we confess, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven, is what Jesus said. In Mark 16:16, he said, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then we need to be faithful unto death. And I will give you the crown of life. Jesus wants for you to have the life. He wants for you to have the forgiveness. He'd much rather you suffer through this world with a physical ailment and spend all eternity with him than to be made whole and physical here and then burn for all eternity. Understand what it's about. It's about your faith. And then he says, now go in peace. Shalom. Go in peace, and you can do that by being obedient to Jesus Christ. Will you stand with us as they lead us in their song?